gospel blues in black churches throughout the U.S. During a time when racial segregation was pervasive, she made considerable and unexpected success in her recording career, sold an estimated 22 million records. Granddaughter of enslaved people, born and raised in poverty in New Orleans. Earliest influence, Thomas Dorsey, and, because he's a musician and composer, don't you know, of gospel music, and blues singer Bessie Smith.
All right.
Now, there was a time, of course, when you didn't, if you went in to sing blues and left behind your gospel background.
Right.
You had crossed the River Jordan, all right. Yes, yeah. Anyways, adapting Smith's style to traditional Protestant hymns and contemporary songs. At 7 o'clock. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
We are the Saturday Morning Show, here for you until 8 o'clock. And about 7:45 this morning, we expect to hear from this author.
I'm Lindsay Wong, author of Villain Hitting for Vicious Little Nobodies, and you're listening to CKUW FM 95.9.
That's Villain Hitting for Vicious Little Nobodies, which she launched, mm-hmm. I guess, last Tuesday or so. And the first thing I'll ask her, of course, is explain Villain Hitting.
Right.
And Corpse Brides.
Yes.
It's big in her book as well, okay. 701. I think we have another anniversary.
Yes.
Before we, what about another jumble?
Okie dokie.
I had a brief burst of something there. Could have been aneurysm, but I think it was enthusiasm.
Okay.
Take a crack at another jumble.
We'll see how you do with this one.
Yes.
Don't be fooled. NLTIG.
Glint. I see the glint in your eye. Gold is the glint, Carol.
That
pulls
one
us.
Was. Fast.
Whenever it's 50 million, I suddenly get a quiver all over me.
See, I thought shaking you could be fooled by the ING in it.
Tried to throw me off. Tried to fool the old maestro. Yeah. Clowning for the old professor.
No,
wait and shoot,
very,
she used to
very
say.
Good. Okay.
I've learned over the years, Carol, women promising and directing you one direction, and the next thing you know, yep.
What?
We're in chains, 40 years in, was it in... how long were the Jews in Egypt? Was it 40 years?
Yeah,
40 years. 7:02.
Yes.
Oh, we need to do the weather in a minute, but let's turn to, I think he was a singing waiter as well as Mr. Huge Button Eyes, born on this day in 1892, Eddie Cantor.
Oh.
Known as Susie. In the words of Shakespeare, she's a wow. Though all of you may know her too, I'd like to shout right now. If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, 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 what a girl. There's none so classy as this fair lassie. Oh, 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 my goodness, what a chassis. We went riding, she didn't balk. From the country, I'm the one that had to walk. If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, oh, what a girl. Susie has a perfect reputation. No one ever saw her on a spree. Nobody knows where Susie goes. Nobody knows but me. If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, 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 what a girl. She wears long tresses and nice tight dresses. Oh, oh, what a future she possesses. Out in public, how she can yawn. In a parlor, you would think the war was on. If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, oh, what a girl. She'll spend Sunday praising the Lord, but on Monday she's as busy as a Ford. If you knew Susie like I mustache and trained it like a pup. She's got such hot lips, she kissed me once and burned it up. If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, whoa, 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 what a girl.
Eddie Cantor giving that song a damn good thrashing. There you go. Eddie Cantor from Chart Toppers of the 20s. He was goggle-eyed, that's quite right. Goggle-eyed comedian, vocalist, Eddie Cantor. Born in 1892, died in 1964. Also to reach his zenith during the 20s. Well, he did a lot of radio, though, afterwards as well. Name immortally linked to many hits. Best known 1920 success was If You Knew Susie. Number one hit in the U.S. for 5 weeks. In 1925. Carol McKibben.
Yes.
What about the weather inquiring minds want to know?
I'll tell you, it's still minus 20 out there. Mostly sort of more or less clear. Barometric pressure 102.8 and falling. Humidity 73%. Wind coming from the south at 45, not showing any gusting at the particular moment. It's going to be mainly sunny today, but the little icon shows clouds with snow coming from it. Increasing cloudiness early this afternoon and then light snow. Blowing snow, if you're going to be in an outlying area this afternoon, and wind coming from the south at 30, gusting to 50, and then 50, gusting to 70 around lunchtime. High, minus 10, wind chill, minus 33 this morning, and minus 20 this afternoon. Still have a risk of frostbite.
Ouch.
Yes.
707?
Yep.
Get me out of here. Get on a 707, yes. Sly Dunbar has died at the age 73, long illness, one of the most renowned Jamaican drummers. Respected internationally for his precision timing, inventiveness indeed. Non-standard reggae rhythms drew on funk, soul, disco. Dunbar and his bass playing partner, Robbie Shakespeare, so it was Sly and Robbie, backed nearly every reggae artist of note and collaborated with an array, a lot of them. Admirers, including Bob Dylan, Rolling Stones, Ian Dury, he of the Blockheads, Joan Armatrading, Madonna, Sinead O'Connor. Well, here they are together, Sly and Robbie. Sly and Robbie Dunbar from the CD The Dub Revolutionary, Sly and Robbie Meet the Mad Professor, featuring Dean Fraser. It is 7:12. Well, I'm looking something up. Have you got...
Yes.
There's another jumble to be found there.
I do.
I'm just looking at...
But we're looking at six-letter jumbles now, Ron, so...
My brain
hurts. You have to see if you're up for it.
Oh, let's take a crack at it then, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
H O C N S E.
Unfortunately, I wasn't listening. Could you give that to me once again? Oh, we don't have.
Be paying attention.
Okay, crokey. Something bad has happened here.
You lost your
computer screen. We've lost some of what we were looking for. Carry on. Try that again.
H O C N S E. Dead air.
I think we'll have to put that to one side
while I find the...
What is it even called? Oh, the Children's Corner. For some reason, it vanished. Could it be me? It couldn't possibly be me either. Let's just pull that there and then put that here.
Find that hard to believe, folks.
It's loading very so slowly at 7:14.
Yes.
Are we going to have... We are going to have sunshine for a while today. Is that what I heard you say?
This morning.
Yes.
And then it's going to turn sort of cloudy and possibly snowy.
And the wind will take us right down to Minnesota.
I'm just going to tell you about tonight, Ron.
Up north.
Because periods of snow tonight, and again, blowing snow in outlying areas this evening. And we're looking at about 2 to 4 centimeters, so that's less than a couple of inches. Wind coming from the south at 30, gusting to 50, and then light around midnight. So whatever is blowing in will be done blowing in, hopefully, by midnight. The wind will be northwest 30, gusting to 50 overnight, and the temperature, -7 this evening, and then -22 overnight. But -7... gives me
decent,
hope.
Decent, quite right. Yeah. Yes. Was that word Chinese?
No.
But it wanted
to
be Chinese.
No,
oh, let's have another crack at it.
Okay. Pay attention this time, Ron.
Pay attention this time.
Yes. H O C N S E.
Chosen?
Chosen.
Holy moly.
Yep.
One of the chosen
you
few.
You did it.
I'm sorry. I'd like to join the few. I'm sorry. There are too many of you.
You did it while you were concentrating on other things.
7:15 then.
Yes.
Wake them. Shake them.
Okay.
Time for the Children's Corner on the Weekend Morning Show.
And girls, show of hands, who wants to move off picture books into words books with words? Show of hands.
Yes.
See,
picture books have
I
words.
See a hand raised. That hand should be washed, is what I was going to say. Because of who does it better? Nobody does it better than Arnold Lobel. Right, he used to say rhymes with the cowbell. Arnold Lobel. Frog and toad all year. And so I thought we better read this now. Because it suits
while
the season.
While it's still winter.
So the story is called Down the Hill. Frog knocked at Toad's door. Toad, wake up, he cried. Come out and see how wonderful the winter is. I will not, said Toad. I am in my warm bed. Winter is beautiful, said Frog. Come out and have fun. Blah, said Toad. A lot of these stories have the same tone, have you
not? Yes, they do.
I do not have any winter clothes.
Carol, what?
Now that's why when we get people who are new to Canada, I used to be an English as a second language instructor.
Yes.
Toque and parka. These are important words.
Yes.
And you will, trust me, you will need them. So,
yes.
Frog came into the house. I have brought you some things to wear, he said. Frog pushed a coat down over the top of Toad. Frog pulled snow pants up over the bottom of Toad. He put a hat and scarf on Toad's head. Help, cried Toad. My best friend is trying to kill me. I'm only getting you ready for winter, said Frog. Frog and Toad went outside. They tramped through the snow. "We will ride down this big hill on my sled," said Frog. Now, in Canada, of course, would have been a toboggan.
Right.
"Not me," said Toad. "Do not be afraid," said Frog. "I will be with you on the sled. It will be a fine, fast ride." "Yeah, a fine, fast ride. All right, Toad, you sit in front. I will sit behind you." The sled began to move down the hill. "Here we go," said Frog. There was a bump. Frog fell off the sled. Toad rushed past trees and rocks. "Frog, I am glad that you are here," said Toad. Toad leaped over a snowbank. "I could not steer the sled without you, Frog," he said. "You are right. Winter is fun." A crow flew nearby. "Hello, crow," shouted Toad. "Look at Frog and me. We can ride a sled better than anybody in the world." "But Toad," cried the crow, "you are not alone. You are alone on the sled." Toad looked around. He saw that Frog was not there. "I am alone," screamed Toad. Bang! The sled hit a tree. Thud! The sled hit a rock. Plop! The sled dived into the snow. Frog came running down the hill. He pulled Toad out of the snow. "I saw everything," said Frog. "You did very well by yourself." "I did not," said Toad. "But there's one thing that I can do all by myself." "What is that?" asked Frog. "I can go home,"
yes,
said Toad. "Winter may be beautiful, but bed is much better."
Oh.
The end of the story. From a grumpy old Toad.
Yes.
From
Who
Frog
should
and
be
Toad.
Hibernating after all.
Yes, because you would know, because you have the blood pressure of a frog or a toad.
A slug, even,
yes.
Well, you mentioned toque.
Yes.
And I just want to say toque. If you're talking about a Canadian hat,
yes,
with a pom-pom on the,
yes,
end of it, is T-U-Q-U-E, because toque, T-O-Q-U-E, is a chef's hat, you know, the white.
Oh, ho, ho, ha, ha.
Yes.
I saw a toque this morning.
Yes,
we saw
did.
Nadia going pom-pom. To do the,
yes,
Saturday morning show.
That's
so we waited in the cold.
She honked at us and we waved
her
back.
Yes, and then we spoke,
yep,
said, we wished her a good show.
Yes.
Here's something we could wish you.
Yes.
Today being the 31st, the Saturday morning all-you-can-eat cereal cartoon party.
Excellent.
10 a.m. this morning.
Yes.
At Cinematheque, which is in Market Square, is it not? Yes, you can't,
yes,
miss it. It's in the big building there. It's,
yes,
on the main floor there.
The Cinematheque Arts Space building.
And, as well, Cabin Fever, if you've had...
That's tomorrow.
Going loopy. Yes, February the 1st. Sleeping Beauty at 1 p.m. for the boys and girls. And having a look,
yes,
at the Winnipeg Public Library program listing, you can too. I got the app. You can simply, I hope you can still look up Winnipeg Public Library and look for their program listing. Family Art Afternoon today. Drop in and create at the library. Explore a variety of art and craft supplies. Make your own masterpiece for children and their families. It can reveal a lot, like the old Rorschach ink blot.
Yes.
Oh. Today, 2 to 4 at the Mona Gray Program Room. That's the Millennium Library. It's an open event.
Oh,
it means,
okay,
you can just drop in.
Yeah.
As well, Teen Board Game Afternoon. Drop in to hang out and play some fun board games for ages 13 to 17. Today, 2:30 to 4:30, the program room of the Bill and Helen Norrie Library.
Right.
Which is a beauty. That's an open event as well. You can simply drop in. Now, Carol McKibben, I've,
yes,
got something for you. But,
yes,
you see, the registration is closed. Parlez-moi de laine. Yarn and yap.
Talk me... Yeah.
Venez rejoindre des autres. Join those who are adept at creating with laine. Be wool,
wool.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
Et le fil. F-I-L. Anyways.
Sun. F-I-L.
Well, something bizarre going on here then,
yes,
at the Bibliothèque Saint Boniface.
I think.
Who can explain this French? But the registration for this event is now closed, which is why I bring these things up. Because you got to get on these things early.
Right.
And you,
yes,
can look even up to a month or two ahead.
Yeah.
Winnipeg Public Library, programs and listings at 7:21. Once again, for the boys and girls, don't let this happen to you, boys and girls, as we turn to Behind Bars, 40 Tales of Prisons, Jailbreaks, and Death on two CDs. This morning, I don't think you'll recognize the lead voice on this. The song is called Lonesome Jailhouse Blues.
Standing in the jailhouse, wishing I was free. I'd like to get out, but I ain't got a key. I got them lonesome jailhouse blues, waiting for a train that'll take me away, and I'll be gone for many a day. I got them lonesome jailhouse blues, standing in the jailhouse looking at the street, this jail floor is hurting my feet. I got them lonesome jailhouse blues, watching my friends as they go by, they get me out if they would try. I got them lonesome jailhouse blues. Girl that I left behind, I got them lonesome jailhouse blues. The jury said I'd have to go, and they sent me here without a show. I got them lonesome jailhouse blues. So goodbye, friends, I'm leaving today. The Pullman train's gonna take me away. I got them lonesome jailhouse blues. The governor's fair, don't worry me. It's the way I feel that makes me see. I got them lonesome jailhouse blues.
Well, that was quick, wasn't it?
It was quick.
You don't want the lonesome jailhouse blues to last long. Now, somebody has emailed us to say, was
yes,
that?
Yes, before I even had a chance to answer, it was over. So they thought it was Woody Guthrie.
No.
Not Woody Guthrie.
Not according to the liner notes here.
Right.
What I have...
You're not going to believe it, Scott.
And I may not believe it, but I've got Glenn Campbell.
Yeah.
With...
The
Green River Boys.
That's right.
There you go. Two CD set, which we got in Dublin, I think, actually. At 7:24, why, we better get to our march.
Yes, I'll say.
And I have a bit stuffed here somewhere.
Yes.
I'm just looking now.
He's rifling through a record sleeve, believe it or not, for whatever notes or pieces of paper he's got lying around. Yes?
All right. We're turning then to the Marches of the Vanishing Regiments this morning.
Okay.
Right you are.
This is probably the band of the Royal Military School of Music.
Get ready to march around the table.
All right.
Table this morning, then it seemed to me, I see I had misread the back cover. That was the Cameronians playing Within a Mile of Edinburgh Town shortly after its formation. The regiment, that was the Scottish Rifles we're talking about, stationed in the suburbs of Edinburgh to subdue the rebellious schemes of many hot-headed Jacobites. Every reason to believe they adopted this tune from being in this location at the time. At
right.
7:27. We've got to get on, Carol. We've got to get on. We've got you coming up to talk about, who are you talking about today? Ever so briefly?
A famous person who died on this day back in history.
Right, you are. Well, we must have a reason for playing Mario Lanza today, and I'll tell you about it after we hear from the man himself. The Big Voice from a 3-CD set, the Mario Lanza Collection. Includes a lot of things that Coca-Cola issued, I think. Of New Orleans. He had his first two starring films, That Midnight Kiss and The Toast of New Orleans, both opposite top billed Catherine Grayson, commercial successes. And in 1950, his recording of Be My Love from the latter became the first of 3 million selling singles for the young tenor, earning him enormous fame in the process. He was temperamental, and he was dead by the age of about 38 or so. And I think his wife died about 5 months later, which was odd. Speaking of classical music, and because he sang opera as well, yes. Did he not? Yes. We cover the waterfront here on CKWFM.
This is John Iverson, host of Shades of Classics on Sunday mornings from 8 until 10. Tune in for a unique blend of classical, classical crossover, and New Age music to brighten your day. Heartfelt music at its finest. Sunday mornings from 8 until 10, right here on CKUW.
Thank you, John. Just a reminder, we are the Eclectic Circus with Fun Drive coming. Where are you going to find this variety, eh?
Yes. Pardon me?
Where are you going to find this kind of variety?
Right.
And I've been thinking of a threat. We could sing. And we threatened to keep singing until we...
Yes, until you pay
send
up.
Us enough money.
Yep.
Just a thought. Just a thought at 7:32.
Right.
Carol McKibben, what have you got from today's history you wish to share?
Well, I've got a short little bit, because you have an author later, and it's about Guy Fawkes. He was born 1570 in York, England. He was a British soldier and the best known participant in the gunpowder plot.
Bad boy, bad boy.
Yep.
What are you going to do when they come for you?
Well, the object, of course, was to blow up the Palace of Westminster during the state opening of Parliament while James I and his chief ministers were meeting in reprisal for increasing oppression of Roman Catholics in England. Because this is long after Henry VIII, if you remember. Fawkes was a convert to Roman Catholicism after his dad died when he was 8 and his mum married a recusant. His adventurous spirit, as well as his religious zeal, led him to leave Protestant England and enlist in the Spanish army in the Netherlands. There, he had a reputation for courage and cool determination. Meanwhile, the instigator of the plot, Robert Catesby, and his small band of Catholics agreed that they needed the help of a military man who would not be as readily recognizable as they were. They dispatched a man to the Netherlands in April 1604 to enlist Fawkes, who had no knowledge of the details of the plot, but returned to England and joined them anyway. They rented a cellar under the palace, and Fawkes was in charge of the 36 or so barrels of gunpowder there and camouflaged them with coals and faggots. But the plot was discovered, and Fawkes was arrested the night of November 4th to 5th.
Jokey.
1605. So you might wonder, why am I talking about... So, only after
what
being
calendar
tortured,
are we using now?
Pardon me?
Are we using the Gregorian calendar? What's going on? Julian?
Well, I'll tell you.
Lunar?
Only after being tortured on the rack did he reveal the names of his accomplices. He was tried and found guilty of high treason. He was to be executed opposite the Parliament buildings on this day, January 31st, 1606, at the age of just 36.
Well, they had to make their own entertainment back then.
Well, he fell, or possibly jumped, from the gallows ladder and died as a result of having broken his neck.
Hokey crokey.
May have been on purpose. We don't know.
Hmm.
He didn't survive the broken neck.
No, you wouldn't.
To tell anyone. They still quartered him, though, just in case you wondered. So, the British celebration of Guy Fawkes Day, November 5th, includes fireworks, masked children's begging a penny for the guy, and the burning of little effigies of the famous conspirator.
I like the idea of fireworks.
Sure.
Let's have some fireworks.
Okay.
Minnesota Orchestra. I wonder if they'd like to come up and play up here. I wouldn't be surprised. From the box set of 50 years of Vox recordings, 1945 to 1995. I'll bet that was performed in England. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. Maybe it was even composed while he was there.
Well, it's Royal Fireworks, but of course it was royalty all over the place back then.
Yeah, back in those days.
Yep.
So I'm still thinking of, made me think of London is what it made me think of.
Yes.
And the tube, of course. I've learned how to mind the gap.
It just sounds like a big breeze.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
I told you about the time I jumped down on the tracks.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't do that, boys and girls. There we go. A great big breeze. I can mind the gap, but I've never yet learned how to order. Well, if you, there is a pub chain that makes it easier for you. That's Weatherspoons.
Yeah.
But anywhere else, you find yourself trying to get...
One, two, one, two, three, four. 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. I'll have 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. Oi, 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. Two pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. I'll have 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please. I'll have 2 pickled onions, a little bit of cheese, please.
Two pints of lager and a packet of crisps.
I've been here half hour and I'm getting very thirsty.
2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps.
Can I have a... Over here. Excuse me?
2 pints of lager and a...
In Canada, you know.
2 pints of lager and a...
Never mind.
2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps. 2 pints of lager and a... 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps.
2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please.
2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps.
2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please.
2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps.
2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps, please.
2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps.
2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps.
2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps.
Say no more, say no more at 7:41. Ukulele Orchestra of Great Britain, Vancouver, Carol said, made not to be missed. It's
May
an experience.
3rd,
hair on the
I believe.
Back of your neck goes up in your fingers start to twitch at 7:41. As promised,
yes.
Lindsay Wong launched her new book, Villain Hitting for Nasty Little Nobodies, earlier this week. Lots of attention in the Winnipeg Free Press and elsewhere. So we ended up getting her on the phone is what we ended up doing to talk about her new book. Well, welcome. Welcome to CKWFM, and thanks very much for doing this.
Thanks so much for having me.
You know, usually, Lindsay, I share the plot outline, and I talk a little bit about the title before we start. But then I realized that if I tried to do that, our listeners would say, does he know what he's talking about? What is this really? So let's start with the title. I'm looking at it. Villain Hitting for Vicious Little Nobodies. So what is Villain Hitting, and who are the Vicious Little Nobodies?
That's a great question. So Villain Hitting, it refers to this old Chinese voodoo where these practitioners are usually old Chinese aunties. They will curse anyone. All you do is give them a name and a photo, and they take a shoe, and they end up hitting this paper effigy or a photo of the person that you want to hate, want to curse. And these aunties are usually in Hong Kong. It's still a practice that happens today. And then Vicious Little Nobody. I wanted to write about women, specifically Asian women, who have no choice. So they're sort of feeling stuck, and they have nowhere to go in society. And that, again, refers to the villain hitters, who are, again, usually aunties who live under the bridge, right?
Right.
And so that's sort of what the book is about.
Okay. These are aunties you do not want to cross, obviously.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yes.
Yeah. And in the novel, what happens is that one villain hitter, she can make really horrible things happen to a person. Like, they'll just walk across traffic and get hit by a car, or whatever you want to happen to the person you hate.
Okay. I don't know if we want to spread that around, actually, Lindsay, but all right. We talked about the title. Now, as the other thing that I thought, if I tried to talk about it, I wouldn't know what I was talking about. And that is, what is a corpse bride? Because that runs right through the whole book.
Mm-hmm. The novel is also about arranged death marriage. And this relates to ancient practice that took place in the Tang Dynasty, where people are just not allowed to die alone. And if you happen to go and you're not married, they will find you a corpse. Another corpse will be put in the coffin with you. Or they'll just find someone and kill them and then you'll be, you know, stuck together for all eternity. It's a very dark practice.
Yes.
And it still happens today in rural areas.
Well, and I gather money changes hands.
Oh, absolutely, right? So if you do not have someone that you know who has also died, your family will make the arrangement to purchase someone, right? And so this is all happening in rural China. You know, marginalized women are getting murdered and finding themselves in coffins. And sometimes it goes very wrong and you don't actually die, which is the scary part, right? Like, I remember reading an article about this woman who woke up in a coffin, started clawing her way out, started screaming, and the villagers actually heard her and they were able to rescue her, right?
There's a bit of
pretty terrible.
A bit of Edgar Allan Poe in there. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm looking at another book. I'm looking at another book called The Ghost Bride, which I see was turned into a Netflix series. Are you familiar with that?
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it, or I don't know the specifics.
Okay, well, it has a ghost bride in it. That's what made me think of it, because I began to wonder, is there a genre I'm missing here? Or why not a Netflix series for villain hitting for vicious little nobodies?
That would be amazing, right?
It would be amazing, yes.
Stunning with the spinning coffin.
Now, I know that you're teaching creative writing here on campus.
I am.
The University of Winnipeg, where we're broadcasting from. But I noticed at the back of your book, you say, oh, I hate writing.
Oh, I honestly do. I mean, I think there's something about the drudgery or the routine of it that I find tiring. But I honestly don't know what else I would be doing if I wasn't writing.
Well, what drives you? What drives you then to pick up, I was going to say pick up the pen, but sit it down in front of a screen?
I think I have a lot to say. I have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of interests. And I think there's something about writing that does feel cathartic. You know, there's something about you sitting in front of the page and almost like, kind of having this, you know, this strange dialogue with yourself that I don't know what. It's almost like I don't know. It's not therapeutic, right? But there's just something obsessive, I think, about the blank page and having to fill it, right?
Well, you
don't know why you do something.
Well, I was going to think about giving a speech or something. You come to understand when you have to put it into words. And you, when you look, yeah, you look at someone else's face and you see, did they understand what I was talking about? And so I was putting it on the page, and then that's when you find whether people pick up your book or not or read it and get back to you. Now, it's too early for feedback on this, I guess. Although, I know you haven't, you tried to answer this, but I couldn't help but wonder about your family's response. Too early for a response?
I'm fortunate that my family doesn't read. So, or if they do read it, they won't tell you. I think there's something about, especially in my family, which is they're very Chinese, that they sort of feel that a literary pursuit is not as worthy or practical as someone who is in medical or law, right? I think, you know, they're just like, oh, I remember, you know, I got tenured, I'm a professor, and my mother was like, a professor is nothing. So-and-so makes over $200K doing, you know, something else. So there's that, you know, that sense of the literary arts not being valuable.
Yes.
And I think that's what Dylan Hiddink for This Little Nobody also talks back to, because Lucinda is a failed MFA student.
You know, I used to do English as a second language here, and I had some Asian students. And I remember one fellow, I said, out of curiosity and interest, what about music? And he said, I couldn't find any value in it. I thought, value in music? What about the emotional value? But I knew that's not what he wanted to hear. Now, finally, we turned, finally we turned to our successful writer. That is you, Lindsay Wong, with Hitting, Villain Hitting for Vicious Little Nobodies, on the shelves now. And my question to you is, as you and I speak, somewhere there is a young person sitting in front of a screen and little drops of blood appear on their forehead and they say, how do I start? How do I start? I want to write, but what do I need to do? Is there a tip you can share?
Honestly, I just think you just have to sit down and force yourself to do it no matter what. For me, it was mini eggs. I ate so many Cadbury mini eggs. So if there's any way, you just have to be able to get the words on the page, because that's the only way to finish, right?
The words on the page. Sounds like a discipline. Sounds like a responsibility. Sounds like a promise. You promise you make to yourself, I would think.
I think you have to, because there's no one telling you that you have to write. I mean, I tell my students that they have to write, but outside of the classroom, There's no one except yourself.
All right. Well, thank you for talking to us about this, and good luck with Villain Hitting for Vicious Little Nobodies.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Lindsay Wong, in conversation, teaches writing here, creative writing at the University of Winnipeg. Book now in the bookstores, McNally Robinson Booksellers, as well in the Winnipeg Public Library System, I would think, at 7:50. So, Carol, we're working our way through.
Yep.
This CD has 12 cuts. We are now up to cut number 8.
Yes.
Variations on a theme, and that theme, of course, is Danny Boy.
Right.
This morning, it's Peter Nero. Nero putting his spin on Danny Boy for you there at 7:54. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
We will be back next Saturday, which will be getting closer to Valentine's Day and Fun Drive.
That's
Fun Drive will start, and we'll be saying, does that baby really need that pablum? Well, look at the money you could save and direct towards Fun Drive. We'll be asking for your help, your cash considerations. You can do it online, of course. And from 7 till 8, we'll be taking phone calls as well.
Right.
Now, I'm looking at the MCO, their vinyl vault. Yes, they're back for their first sale of 2026, 9:30 till 1:30. Refresh stock, January promo. Especially priced collector box including rock, jazz, country, and folk collections. Vinyl vault today, 9:30 till 1:30 in the Power Building basement. Right next to the bay, what used to be the bay there, 428 Portage Avenue. They usually put a sign out. You go in, you can walk down the stairs, or there's an elevator there. Funds raised by the Vinyl Vault, of course, support the MCO, the Manitoba Chamber Orchestra. And when we get home today, I'm going to phone for my tickets for the brunch for Dry Cold Productions.
Right.
They've got a production coming. It's a great brunch. This one's at the Winnipeg Club, I think I've got it. But anyways, Dry Cold Productions will take you there with all the details you need to know.
So there's a brunch, but they'll probably also
some
be
of the performers,
few performers
will be there. That's right.
Singing some of the
and they had some
songs
nice things
from
last time. The food was great, yes. Now, back next Saturday morning then.
Yes.
It's going to be cold, but I see sunshine around the corner. Leave you then with Kate Bush singing 50 Words for Snow.
Right.
Yes. You won't get through all of them because this is 8 minutes long, but you can see if you recognize them.
Okay. See you next week.
Hero no Krashka. did wept.